black nuts were doomed, but the lows be the same. Penny for my thoughts, cause you know I'm tryna change. If I ever took a loss, charge it to the game. When we see guys, we don't say.
Check.
Alright, cool.
Alright, we're in?
Yeah, we're in. And we're back.
And we're back. It's been a minute. Let me, I'm going to pop the intro right now before I forget, because we've got a lot to get into today. And we are here. We are charging.
Bang, bang.
We are the podcast with the highest level of analysis the culture needs.
Skirt.
I'm Daddy J, but you man can call me Jordan, and I'm here with...
You know it's your girl's favorite voice, Big Dej, nigga with the Midas touch.
Guy Hafa. Before we get there,
yo, everybody, make sure you like, make sure you share, make sure you subscribe.
Yes.
Subscribe is the most important thing. What's called, we are trying to reach our 500 subs. If you're listening on the audios, give us a review. 5 stars is preferable. If it's not 5 stars, don't actually do it.
Yeah, nothing but 5 stars.
Yeah, let me know, Cap.
Give us a review. 1 star. Fuck off.
You get what I'm saying?
Don't bring him any review.
Yeah, make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend. And yeah, also, we see you, man, in the comments. Appreciate all of that. But yeah,
do you know podcast is like so niche? That if you're going to listen to a podcast, you probably like it, because then you probably give it 5 stars. It's not like a song where it's only like 90 seconds.
Yeah,
and if you don't have it, it's like 2 stars. But a podcast, you're like, you're here because you probably enjoy the content.
Hey, unless if you're new here, welcome to Charges to Game.
To Charges to Game podcast, give us 5 stars. We need that. Now, before we start, I want to say this. I want to shout out to my guy, Morris.
Yeah, man.
God bless your union. And like, I've known Morris, I guess, 20 years at this stage, maybe. Mm-hmm. And the thing about, like, I know I used to talk to Dave, and Dave used to kind of get offended when I said, like, oh, like...
With podcast friends?
But yeah. My thing is, I've been blessed with people in my life, yeah. So sometimes I just don't give anybody the label of friend.
Yeah.
Just because I see you weekly. I see niggas at work weekly, daily. I don't call them my friends. So I, look, I understood why Dave got, was taken back. Not offended, but I understood why he was taken back.
Offended.
But at the same time, I'm like... I've been so lucky in my life. I've seen real friendships. Like, I've seen real friends. Even this podcast, for example, the last year, it's been like, Digi, can we record this many episodes? Because I need to go away. Did you see me giving birth? Can we record on Sundays now? Because it's like, I've actually been so lucky that people in my life have been good and accommodating to me. So when I don't say someone is not my friend, I don't mean it in a way that, like, it's offensive.
It's not beef.
It's not beef, exactly. Because I've been so blessed to have real friends. Morris, for example, this is a guy that I grew up with. He was doing the music thing, moved to London. He kind of self-aware to be like, yeah, this movie thing is not cracking for me. Went back to Niger to study. Did his time in Niger. Lived in Lagos for a year. Came back here. And when he came back here, within 3 years, he was like, you know what, Jordan? I come back. I'm going to settle. This is the end game for me. And within 3 years, he came back, got a job, bought a house, got married. This is a man that stays true to his word. So when we talk about real men and people that exemplify what it is to be a real man, and guy that will give you his word and it says, this is my goal, and it'll actually go towards it, it's inspiring to even see, because you come back mid-pandemic. You don't have a job. You come back to live in your family home. You're nearly in your 30s. And especially as men, you're kind of like, yo, I got work to do. I need to get back on my feet here. Just to see him do it. Even his missus, like, I was going gym with him. And he was there like, look, I like her. And she's cool. But, like, you know, I'm still finding my feet. And I'm taking credit here. I told him, like, look, one thing about women is once they see potential, they can bank on it. So if I know where you are, I know you're not, like, in Ireland, you know yourself. Getting jobs is like 2 months on LinkedIn. Like, yeah, you're sorted. I said, once you see the potential, like, once you believe in the potential CCs, you'll be grand. And now they're getting married, and I couldn't be happier, because he is, like I said, he exemplifies what it is to be real men, not just like anything.
I will say, that's one attractive couple, though.
They're good looking, aren't they? Good looking people.
I was watching Jordan vlogs, yeah, and at the wedding, just massive blown out pictures of them. He's there.
He took off his top. People were like, so your hench, you're not chubby. By the fool. Now, shout out Morris and Sonia. God bless your union. That's my guy. The guy would move. Like, if Morris can't do something for you, he won't do it because he can't. If you can move fucking days to come back for your kid's baby shower, Morris will be there. So I wanted to give him a shout out, and shout out to him. But yeah, let's get into
Your night review.
Yeah. How's your week been, Dej? How's your two, three weeks since we last saw each other?
Uneventful. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, you're just kind of chilling.
Bro, man, life is boring at the moment.
Oh, boring. When in Ireland, isn't, like, for us plus nearly 30-year-olds, there's actually not much to really be at after a certain age, is it?
There is. It's just whether you want to do it or not.
I'm not.
There's nothing's happening.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure there was one of those chicken and waffle events.
Okay.
The other day. I did not go. You know I didn't go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I saw one of them. The only thing I've been to in the past couple weeks is the PLB pop-up shop.
How's that?
Bruv, that nigga got a brand, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Fam, people pulling up in a bunch of old season merch and all that. Not merch, old seasons. Whatever it's called.
Yeah,
a bunch garms. Of the garms, essentially, yeah. And it was just like, because, you know, with pop-up shops, you'd be afraid that people show up and not spend money.
Yeah, yeah,
bro,
yeah.
People are just buying shit. I'm buying shit. I'm buying shit. And to be fair, I will say, like, I was touching the quality, the fabrics on these things. Like, bro, that tracksuit is heavy.
Yeah, I saw it on stories. I think shout out Ty Power. Like, he documents these things. And shout out him being in this scene thing, like, whatever it is, because it's a tankless job sometimes. I only see some tanks because he's documenting it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't be privy to it. Then I'll see it, the way he cuts it up. So I saw that as well. I was like, oh, man, this actually looks like a good time. And I've seen, it's one of those brands that my eyes have seen.
Yeah.
But I've just, like, scrolled through it. And then now you're paying attention. It's like, when you buy a car, now you start seeing the car everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, since you, like, put me on, I was like, oh, I've actually seen this brand, Bears, and I continue to keep seeing this brand.
Nah, but so shout out him, do this thing. To be honest, it's cold. Like, yeah. Like the garments are cold. And it seems like they actually have a good follower. People come in through, like, met Travis Nels actually for the first time. Met Mondiola for the first time there.
Okay,
as well.
Yeah.
Like, fashion niggas coming through. People just were coming through and they were buying shit. It was nice to see. It was nice to see support.
Yeah, that little fashion nigga space is popping low key. And then, like, I always say, like, those are the college niggas that did fashion shows. That little space there, the contents they do, and now you're seeing pop up shop. They're showing up for each other and they just link up and do content. You're like, why the fashion niggas Avengers just here? Like,
you know what I'm saying?
I can never be a part.
But apart from that, yeah, like that's the only thing I've really been up to in the past 2-3 weeks. I've been.
To be fair, if I was here, I'll probably be on the same.
Bro, you know, I'd be keeping my head down and mind my own fucking business.
That's one thing about Dage. Is like, yeah,
the world is fire. I'll mind my business. God damn it!
Then you'll even send you a tweet. I'm like, I didn't even know you saw this. He's just minding his business. Like, I didn't know you were here.
Because it's not everything that you see. You must respond to.
That's true.
But yeah, let's get into this.
Show. Oh yeah, boys. I went to Niche.
Isn't it funny how you went to Niche before you went to Congo?
Yeah. It is funny. This was my first time back in Africa in any capacity since 2002. Mm-hmm. Since I basically came to Ireland, I've not been back to Africa. Not even, like I've said, not even like a cheeky Marrakesh. You know, people have gone to Morocco and then now they've been to Africa. They have, but yeah. Do you know? They have, but yeah, sure. So we get there upon, like, landing. Everything is fine. I get warned about, like, the airport and how it's going to be. We get there upon landing. First thing you notice is, like, yeah, they're not being rude. They're just trying to test you. They're trying to see if you're punk. So then they can have their way.
Don't know if you're pussy or not.
Yeah. And Morris told me, he's like, yo, if you just push back, they're not even going to take offense to it. They're just going to be like, all right, leave him alone. So I get there. We get down. First thing you feel is that heat. The heat didn't really throw me off because I've been to, like, hot countries over the last 3 years. But I will say,
expected it to be hot as well.
Yeah. The difference is Dubai feels like it's hot heat. Like, it feels like you're touching fire.
Mm-hmm.
Nigeria feels like you're in a sauna. Like, both 25 degrees are not the same. Like, like in Dubai, you feel like this is actually burning my skin. I have to be indoors. Well, in Niger, you're just like, you're out, you're sweating. It is hot, but you're like, oh, this is bearable. Like, people sit in saunas for like an hour. Like, it's just incredibly hot. Whereas in Dubai, I couldn't hack the heat.
Then again, Dubai is a desert.
Yeah. Essentially, it's like, I couldn't hack the heat, so I went inside. Then we drive over to, we're staying in VI, Victoria Island. I recommend if anybody, where we were staying, where you, that location, that vicinity, on God, even Ayub was like, I thought we were coming to Nigeria. Like, it's like, where did, it's aesthetically, it actually looks nice. It's nice. The roads are, like, decent for what you had, you expect in your brain. As we're driving to the from the airport, I'm looking at, like, the roads. I'm like, why is nobody talking about these people? These roads are nice. They're driving grand. It wasn't until later that I started real. They're real. So then we get to Victoria Island and we're looking at our penthouse apartments. I'm like,
yo, I'm living.
I fully understand why you man's go to Lagos, not like every December. Because if you go to, like, those places and you stay in, like, Lekki or Victoria Island and in those places, and you're Nigerian, so when you go out, you can have, like, Nigerian food, you can feel like you're at home, you can hear the language, the familiarity. It's like going, I've been to Tulum, yeah? The only thing Tulum has on Nigeria is better publicity. That's it. If there was a few blonde hair white babes that went to Lagos and vlogged it and put it on YouTube.
Rappers.
That's it. Because when I was there and I was like, I could come back here yearly for a holiday because it's cheap. The places are nice. The Ubers are cheap.
The food is sloppy.
First night I go out, yeah, we go to some Ox restaurant. I look at the, you expect to see your burgers, see pepper gizzard, pepper turkey. I said, I'm home. I'm not home, but I'm home. that already set you then to go to this like, they call, I don't know what's the difference between a lounge and a club, but shall they call it a lounge? Mm-hmm. You go to the lounge, you see niggas are playing drums. Niggas are playing drums, they're spraying them cash, the big boys are coming, like 1.2 million like Naira comes in, like they're just spraying him. I'm like, okay, this is the vibe. The next day now, we're driving down to ShopRite or going to the mall or whatever it is. Now you get to see the actual
Pause. Bring it back. Because we know Jordan doesn't like clubs. So, question. Is it clubs in Ireland or is it just clubbing?
It's clubbing. I know. I was there for a minute. For the vibes. I was there. Me too. I took my Naira. The drummer. It was unbelievably loud. But what's the nice thing about it is, like, indoors, like, it's that environment. Outdoors, because it's so warm. Me and some of my boys, we took our drinks. We sat in the lounge, like, part of the lounge that was outside because you're still in heat. You're still drinking. That type of environment I can do because I can pick and choose. Do I want to be in there? So I can be on a night out with you.
Yeah.
And if you want to be doing the spraying and the bottles, come. But I might take like Bex or Ron and we sit outside just sipping and chatting. That was more of like my setting. So I like that. I guess in Ireland, it's not as possible because we live in a cold country.
Yeah.
So if you're not, you have to stand outside in the smoking area, shivering cold. Like, yeah, you don't want to do that. But I didn't wear trousers or like runners for like 2 weeks straight. It was great. So next day now, I'm like, all right, let's go, cause Morris. See, you, what I learned about Nigerian is, yeah, all you guys probably have big family homes back home. All you guys, yeah. Nah, you're shouting cost of living here, yeah. You probably, the next day we're going to his family home back in Lagos, and we're driving in traffic. Do you know when I've heard people say like the red lights are a suggestion? Not like a must. Yeah. No, they're joking. No. One guy stopped. The red light was coming, yeah? Do you know here, if you have red light, even if it's red and there's nobody passing, you'll still stop. This guy saw nobody was going, took his turn, went straight, and he went. I was like, wow. And the way they drive is, you go in where you fit in. There's no lanes. This is like, some of the madness I saw about taxi drivers, they'll come this close, yeah? And they'll just exit. We don't utilize our horns here enough. Is what? No. The way they use it, to be fair, logically it makes sense because
I'm here by the way.
I'm letting you know that I'm coming. Like, you know, sometimes in a motorway, I get freaked when like there's a big truck and I have to go pass it. So when they see a big truck and they're passing it, beep 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 beep. If they're overtaking anybody and someone's changing lane, they just beep them. And it's not even a passive aggressive thing. It's like, this is how I'm supposed to use the horn.
I'm here by the way.
Why do I have this horn if we only use it if we're angry? Or passive aggressive will beep someone. So that whole experience was like, yeah, you go in where you fit in. There could be four cars merging into one lane, and it's just about who blinks first. Because everybody, and you're in the car, you're like, oh, we're gonna die. It's calm.
This is a game of chicken, essentially.
Yeah. The one thing that kind of was weird then is like when you're in traffic, you see kids come to the car and they're begging. And okay, for the first time, you said, you know what, I have a few, you give them something. But then that just invites more.
Yeah.
And that you become like, they're giving money. So a lot of them keep coming. And I was having a chat to my boy, Bashir. It's like, it's mad how quick you become desensitized to it. Like, a couple of trips down that road, even like flipping, the driver starts cursing them out. You're like, oh, mad. And the driver even told like, no, don't give them anything. Because the minute you give something, you're bringing everybody to my car. And I don't want that kind of trouble. Lagos itself, I'm like, I get why if you save up for the year, you have $3,000, $4,000, whatever, by December, you pay for your flight. And there's even a new Nigerian airline,
Air Peace,
that is taking flight. You go to VI or Lekki or whatever, one of these places. I fully get why you demands would go there. Like, I get it. Then a lot was happening. We wanted to go to, like, every... One thing I will say, though, about the service, there's two types of services. With the taxi and the Uber drivers, it's just aggression.
Yeah.
They just want the money. But when you go to like restaurants and bars and stuff, they're so polite to the point it comes across like they're being timid.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you kind of feel like, well, me anyways, it makes you feel like a bit weird because it feels like they're really respectful. It's like, yo, bro, I'm just a regular person, which I understand because I was tipping like I'm Elon Musk over there. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I know.
Because then you do the conversion, you see like 1,000 naira is not even a euro. You're like, fuck.
Yeah, bro, probably, bro. 50 cents.
And another part is, like, when you go on holidays with a big group, it's tough because we have under 25-year-olds where we spend the whole day out and we're like, you know what, let's order cheeky food and stay in today. But Lagos is not a place for that.
Bro, I'm outside. I flew all the way to Nigeria. Bro. So to stay inside.
One day we went out. But the minute we got there, 1 a.m., Morris was like, I'm too tired for this. Let's go back home. Then we flew to Owerri because Morris is Igbo. So it was an Igbo wedding. Mm-hmm. Morris already gave us an out because he said, look, right now, they're in the east. They're in the east. I said, the east is a bit dangerous. There's a lot going on. A few mans want to pull out. It's calm. No beef. You guys pull out. A lot of niggas would have been like, saves me money. Calm. But we said, do you know what?
You're a guy. We flew all the way to Nigeria. We're doing this.
That's the thing. And Morris has, in the entire friendship, he's never asked anything of us. Mm-hmm. He's never asked us to pull up to a birthday dinner. He's never asked us to a graduation dinner. He doesn't have kids. Yeah. But every time, he low-key, like, helped my drug tasting taking days. Because he had a gaff in town. Mm-hmm. So he would provide me with accommodation in town if I needed to say. Like, he's always been there. So the one time that now he asked for something, you can't be like, no, I'm not doing it. When this guy has spent, like, 15 years having your back and he's never asked for anything. Yeah. So then, then we're in Owerri. One of the, when we get there, it's actually mad seeing Nigerian parents in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Than seeing him in Ireland. The dad was he was one of the boys.
Because he's at home.
Bruv, I walked into his sitting room. He's there topless with his boys drinking wine at 12 o'clock. I'm like, what's going on? And he's great. Because for him, it's like, you mans actually came to a village in Nigeria for my son. Like, I can imagine as a parent, because they saw us as little kids. Because Morris, when he told him, I'm going to Nigeria for the boys are coming. He was like, they're not going to come. They say they're going to come, but who wants to spend 8 days of their annual leave going to a village in the east of Nigeria?
Yeah.
So he pulled up and that was grand. We went to Owerri. They told us they're dangerous. We had to be home every day. Wherever we are, we leave at 5 o'clock because we have to be home. They shut down roads, police, blah, 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 blah.
I know you're happy on the inside.
One of the nights, because one guy was there, one of Morris's friends. He's like son of a governor or something. He's friends with Odemodu. So Odemodu had a gig there or something. He was doing a club appearance, Odemodu Black. And they all went at night time and he took them there and they made it home safe. But he has that extra protection behind him. So where we're staying, for example, the best way I can describe is we're in Navan. Mm-hmm. And then the other places Kells.
So it's 20 minutes away. It's not far.
20 minutes away from everything. One day we went to Morris's mom's village. Then the next day we went to a memorial in Sonia's house. They went to Sonia's house that day. I didn't go. Because sometimes when you're on the go every time, you're like, nah, fuck that.
I just need a day.
Just need a day. And I'm coming back to a kid, life and work. I'm like, every day you're on the go. So I'm like, nah, fuck that. What I would say is that side, what I liked is, you know what, sometimes when you go on holidays and you're eating burgers, pasta, and you feel a bit your body just resists it. Over there, especially in the village, it's all freshly made food.
Yeah.
So if you want fresh goat or fresh
I saw them squirting the good that you're about to eat.
they went to Morris's sister's. They have this child dedication thing. That was another place that we went to, child dedication. So it takes them longer to get you your food, but it's also understanding they only make this food once you order. I know Western hospitality here is if you have a restaurant, they kind of have an average, they'll prep enough steaks, they start prepping the
everything's mash. Everything's almost
semi-cooked on when you order. That's why it takes 20 minutes to get your food. Mm. And whatever is not ordered that day, they fuck it out. But over there, they don't have that luxury to just say, oh, let me make this and then whatever. So it takes longer, but you're eating fresh food. And you're not coming home feeling like, I just put all this steak, greasy food inside my body.
Yeah.
But then the wedding day comes. We did a few activities. We went to the memorial. The wedding day comes. We wake up. The boys are ready. Calm. Takes longer than we expected. They told us to get ready at 7. But by 1 o'clock, we're going to the wedding. I'm looking at this bruv.
We need to be out here for 4 hours.
Right? But he's very calm. Because all the events we went to, the minute it got to 5 o'clock, Morris's dad would just stand up and say, oh yeah, everybody get in the bus. We paid for bus escort for 5 days. Say, everybody get in the bus. We're going back. So it gets to 5 o'clock. Morris does the whole ceremonial thing. He's getting ready to leave now. He's ready to walk. He's walking out, dancing. He's doing it in style. Yeah, yeah. We get out to the front gate. We're met with a crowd of people. And I'm oh, God. I was like, what's about to happen now? They said, are you the one that's marrying our daughter? Because it's Sonia's village. Because this is Sonia's family home in the east, in her Igbo land. Don't know if I can say her name, but it's cap. don't take it matters. So then they're looking this is a girl from our village. So you have to give us something before you leave here. Before you know it, a scuffle is going on. At the end of the day, I saw someone with a fucking scar and blood dripping in his face. Hey. So what happens is Morris now is taking Sonia to guide her to the car. Mm-hmm. People are following him because he's the one with the bread. So they say, before you leave here today, you must give us money.
We leave it here with something.
So then people start getting, it starts going a bit mad. Security takes me and my friend over here. Yeah, I was like, after I saw them like going over there, I was like saying, ah, fuck this. I went behind, security takes me and my friend over here, takes us to the bus. Then he runs back to sort out whatever it is. Next thing you see is I see Morris's car coming and people are running behind him. I'm like, oh man. We're in the bus with Morris's brother. Morris's brother's like, he's 19, the younger one. He's panicking. He's panicking, like, brother, he's like, close this door. I don't think they wanted to threaten us or they wanted to cause harm. Mm-hmm. It's just these people live in such extreme poverty that anything that they can get out of you, they just want to be fed. Yeah. So now you're in this village where people are hungry, having a big party. They're looking at that like, we're leaving here with something because you guys can obviously afford this and you came from a different place. Even the security that we had with us on the day, as we're dancing and spraying money with Morris here, the guy's putting his hand out. Yeah. Everybody, any and every, like, you, nobody does a favor just to do a favor. Mm-hmm. A guy will say, oh, can I take your bag off the baggage belt? Yeah, says, anything for the boys. I said, love me, man.
Man, niggas are hungry, man.
Yeah. So I kind of put that into perspective. I'm like, no, these people did not want to cause harm. They're not looking to cause harm. Obviously, there is people like that, but I think these specific people, they just want to be fed. Like, they just wanted money. They just wanted something that they can... Because for them, especially in the, like, where I was staying, I was having, like, rice, goat meat, plantain, all this, like, this whole meal for €4, €5, and then with a Corona. Mm-hmm. A Corona bottle was 50 cents in the village.
Yeah.
So 500 Naira goes a long way for the meal, like, 1,000 for you is less than €1. But for them, you can feed them for a day or, like, help them buy a bag of rice. So I didn't see it, like, as it... You do feel like you're in danger, and it is the only time, to be fair, that I felt like, okay, there's obvious
things. Things are popping up.
Yeah, things are popping. Like, you don't know one faux pas. But then we go back to flipping Lagos, then we land. And again, the Uber drivers, yeah, they're fighting, they're arguing. I saw them first. One Uber driver takes my thing, puts it in his car, takes it out, smashes on the ground, says, no, these are my drivers. Jeez. I'm the one taking them home. But you have to stay calm because.
Yeah, if you don't stay calm,
elevate your emotions. They're already elevated emotions, and they're the ones that are like hungry. They're the ones that are like, yo, if you start. But again, this type of vim usually came with Uber drivers,
especially
in a place where there's scarcity, and they see you, you look fresh.
They can tell you're not from here around.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, oh, these niggas got money.
Yeah.
Especially when the exchange rate is what it is now. These niggas got money.
Morris's other friend was trying to like say, you know what, fuck this thing, let's walk over there. But because you know when you're with women and he's like, no, it's too hot, let's just get a car, da da da. He's like, brother, we have no time to bargain with these guys. Let's just get in this car right now and sort it out. But I think for the most part, like, yeah, that was the Niger experience. It's like, there was no really takeaway. I thought there'd be a culture shock, but I left Africa when I was 8 years old, so I still have visual memories of the place. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things I've seen, my brain could be like, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
It wasn't like
it's not completely foreign.
Yeah. The only thing is like, Ayumi felt at some stage, I was like, he was looking for like some poverty porn, and I'm like, do you know when poverty porn is like, you know when Oyinbos go to Kenya, they take pictures,
don't see the flies on face.
So they can post for their socials and look at me.
Look at me, I'm giving money.
Yeah. Someone called him out on Instagram and said, where are you thinking you're gonna go? I see, I told you. I don't know. Lagos, anyways, though, there's probably places in Lagos. I don't wanna, like, people are gonna speak, like, look at this Congolese guy speaking for us. There's probably places in Lagos that was very poverty stricken. I'm not denying that. But where we were, for the most part, I was like, I get why you come here every December.
Yeah.
Like, even pulling up to my shout out Tunde, pulling up to Tunde shop.
I didn't even know Tunde move.
For a minute.
I haven't seen Tunde in years.
It was in my school as well. It was Taiwo Tunde and Bola were like my good friends, and that's why I was like, because they were fresher when I met them. Yeah. That's why I was saying like, Wumi, Deji, and Simi don't really talk like the Nigerians I knew before. Because those are the ones I grew up with. So even seeing him like owning the shop, and he was like saying, yeah, it's mad safe in these ends. There's nothing that really pops up. You just have to be assertive. That's the thing, because every day someone is trying to like test you.
They're going
to
try
you. Someone is trying to try you. So you do have to switch that on. And you do find yourself, even me, switching it on, because you can tell it's like someone's trying to take you for a mug.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no. It was actually class. Like, I think one thing I'm not going to do, though, is when I go to Niger, I'm not telling anybody I'm going. Because you know that, oh, can you bring this back for me? Dej.
Yeah.
And for the most part, yeah, most people, like after a while, I told no. But, do you know, like, it was Simi, yeah? So she ordered bare things to wherever I'm staying. Yeah, and you know how women can be. Like, if I now miss the delivery, because what you do is, you said, you know what, this is my, because you have a Simi, so this is my Nige number, get them to call me. If I now I'm having too much fun, and I miss her delivery, now I have to hear about it. Now I have to hear about it. So, in the back of your mind, you're always like checking, like, oh, I need to look at my phone. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah. And you're seeing other people saying, oh, you're a Nige, can you bring this? Can you? It's like, freebie, man. Like, I have 23kg for me. Mm-hmm. Never mind, like, what everything else you want. On the way back now, I'm going to the airport. I weigh everything after everything is ordered. One bag has 22kg. I'm below the limit. We bought another bag because my mother-in-law wanted me to bring back loads of fish. So she paid for 65 quid for another bag. That one's like 19kg. I'm like, I'm above, but below the limit. Then you have your hand luggage, calm. I go, we weigh everything. And now this guy's looking at me saying, this one is only 19. Can you take stuff out of this bag and make it 23? Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I said, I'm below the limit. He says, yeah, but it needs to be 23. I say, yeah, no, 23 is the max, not the requirement. He says, it will just make it. So the more he tells me, like, yeah, they try to inconvenience you and just make it difficult for you. So you'd be like, oh, God, just hold and free me. Like, those little things. It got to a stage where, like, I weaponized my accent because they start asking me for, like, money. I'm like, oh, I'm not even from here. My friend did bank transfer for me. They're like, oh, you're not from here. A guy told me, so if you're going to take all this food and bring it back to your family, it's 5K. That's policy here. He says it's 5K. That's policy here. Well, after 2 weeks of being there, you're like, it's for them, everything is an opportunity to make money. Mm-hmm. Everybody that's foreign is an opportunity for them to like make money. And I'm not mad at it. Like, some of the hustle.
So hungry, bro.
Yeah, some of the hustle, I'm like, you got to respect it because who's to say I knew better? Who's to say I was like, you know what, if it's 3K, hold the 3K. I don't know who this guy is. This guy could have he didn't even check the bag. He just opened it and says, close it. And he says, so all that food, I said, sorry, it's not for me, it's for my mother-in-law. I said, so are you not going to eat from it? I said, no, I'm Congolese, I don't eat Nigerian food. I said, oh, you're Congolese, what are you doing here? I said, I came from a friend's wedding. Even upon arrival, I spoke, and it says, you're not from here. It's to say, your name is Jordan. I was like, yes, I'm home. Jordan. Well, no, like, it's a place there where, hopefully, I have a few Nigerian friends. Like, if any of them get married, if they do it back there, we will be there. So, I've already said it. Auntie Wombs, I'm talking to you. Like, hopefully, but I don't think I'll be going. But that's my only Igbo friend. But it was nice to experience Africa again. Got to go back to Kinshasa as well. Like, it was really, really fucking fun. And it made me look like, sometimes we look at these places that we go on holidays, like a Tulum or Cancun. I get it. But Lagos is like 6 hours flight. And as a Nigerian, I fully understand that you can get your own food everywhere you go. Now, I don't think I ate European food once the whole trip because...
Why would I?
Yeah, yeah. When I went to Mexico, I made sure I ate enchiladas, quesadillas, because like anything that was Mexican on the menu, that's what I went for. And I will say, Niger, Mexico, and Asia have had the best food. But I know why, because everything is fresh.
Yeah.
They don't have the... perhaps the luxury of like big refrigeration, so just keep food. Everything spoils.
Yeah,
everything spoils quick. So they make food; it's fresher food that you're eating all the time. And I remember going to Mexico with Simi, and I was like, "Wow, the food here has been elite." But then I'm going to all these small cafes that they probably don't have the refrigeration to just keep food. So they probably get food that day, and the food they get that day, they make it quick and they serve it to you. And I got the same feeling in like Niger. I'm like, oh, this actually tastes like I'm eating fresh food. I'm not just eating all these processed burgers and pasta. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why we be sitting there. So that was a nice experience anyways. Like, yeah.
Sounds like time to fail.
No, it was oh, awesome.
The
it was
one,
awesome.
One thing that I did see, I was like, you niggas got these guys on slave contracts or something. The wedding was, what day was the wedding?
Saturday.
The wedding was Saturday, yeah. Tell me why Sunday morning at like 10 a.m., these guys have fully edited videos of the wedding. Bro. I was like, this shit just happened.
And we're sharing in this. Like, bro, I was the same. I was thinking like, okay, we're going to wait a bit.
You know,
and I'm gonna
I'll get back. When I get back, I'll see the videos.
I'll see the videos.
Bro, next day.
Next day, then we are. Those videos are so funny because in the moment, they're so cringy to do.
Yeah.
Like, they're so corny. You're like, oh, what am I doing here? Then you pop out and then you're like, ah, oh, this is
kind of wavy, you know?
You think, like, would you go back anytime soon?
Tonight? No, I've been needed to go back tonight. My father even wants me to go back in June with him, but that's not happening. I've been wanting to go back. It's just every year. You know how niggas are.
Yeah.
We put it off. Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, we're going in December. Yeah, calm. October comes around, November comes around, no tickets have been bought.
Airpiece has booked out till September. They've booked it because they, like, we flew Airpiece to the east.
Mm-hmm.
They were, everything was efficient and on time. They were getting warned, like, oh, these niggas are going to be, like, late. Nope, because they're trying to up their brand. Mm-hmm. So they're doing everything by the books. And I was like, yeah, no, shout out. Like, for, I didn't see anything really to complain about. The Ubers were cheap. Everybody's polite. Again, there is definitely parts that is poverty stricken and there's parts that are not the experience that I want.
Yeah, but that's everywhere. Yeah, if you go to Mexico, there's parts that...
Exactly. Like, I just don't want people to be like, oh, yeah, this guy just went and he lived in all... He stayed in all... I did. I stayed in, like, villas and bro. 24 hours. They said 24... One, oh, yeah, one thing, yeah. The light just goes off and nobody budges. Nobody gets shook. Wherever you... After the first time, you're kind of like, oh, this is what the NEPA thing they talk about. Mm-hmm. Then it happens in a restaurant, yeah. Nobody moves. Everybody's like, yep, this is just part of the process. Like, nobody's getting flustered.
What's there to get flustered about? If you know what it is, you know what it is.
5 minutes later, it comes back. You're like, okay.
We're back.
No, because you do get that whole experience. And they even said, even the airport, being at the airport, it's part of the experience. Like, my boy was not supposed to be at arrival. He said, I just bribed my way through. Just say, yeah, mm-hmm. Full up. Nah, shout out him taking us back there. Now we got to go to other African countries.
It sounds like a vibe though. Yeah. It actually genuinely does sound like a vibe.
My friends, I have two more best men in me. So whoever wants to get married, hurry.
What happened to, friends, get married. Or you just want to just show up and guess.
After this one, I just want to show up. Groomsmen, dudes, you have two more. If you don't get married within the next 5 years, I'm done. If I have my second kid before your marriage, I'm not doing it.
Fair enough. You know what? I hear
it. I'm not doing it. You've taken too long. But nah, we definitely pull up. And Morris's brother, the youngest one, because he was like 19 or 20 maybe, he's doing that holiday differently than all of us. I pull up one day, he showed me videos of him with Davido and Tiwa Savage at a club. There was some homecoming event or something. Mm-hmm. Trims were cheap. I went and got a trim for a pedicure for 12 euro total. Money. I know cost of living here. Cost of living here. Sometimes you hear the prices and you're like, this is outrageous. Like, this feels... If you could save for the year and go to your home country and live like a king, 100% would hear it. Like, 100% would hear it. One guy, their friend, is renting like a 4-bedroom penthouse or something for 10k for the year, 10k euros for the year, though. Mm-hmm. It costs him like 600 a month for like a 4-bedroom penthouse in Lekki.
That's crazy.
And so he was saying that some people, what they do is, because they can work anywhere, they come and live in those places for a year at least, and especially if they're single. And I know, like, Auntie Fiona's there as well. I was chatting to her because she'll send me a few places on the itinerary to be like, oh, you guys should, you should try this. And she's like, yeah, I'm gonna reside here for a minute. And I was like, do you know what? I actually fully hear it, because if you're in that situation, you can work from anywhere, you have like 3 months to blow, and you can just stay somewhere for that cheap. Why wouldn't you do it?
To be honest, during the pandemic, a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
This, you're locking us down. I'm gone. Working from home.
Yeah.
Went straight tonight.
Yeah. No.
But now it's wavy though. Like, to be honest, I seriously do need to go back.
Yeah. No. Well, 100% go back. Shout out, Morris and Sonia again. Congrats on your thing. But that's it. That was my nice trip, anyways. Jordan's vlogs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Telling me I should vlog it.
I saw you did Jordan vlogs on your public for once. Thank God.
Yeah. Because I think Irene and Dave were like, why don't you, this is actually enjoyable to watch, why don't you do it? But because I do Jordan's vlogs, like, I never watch vlogs ever until I moved in with Simi, and then we're every time we want to go somewhere, she's watching a vlog. I just look at it as I could do this unironically, like, just in a funny way. Like, I'm not doing this to vlog. And then people were saying, like, It's actually kind of nice.
I've been watching.
Yeah.
Like, I actually be watching.
It's like, yeah, just do it. I was like, you know what? For the wedding, I'll actually do it. But for the most
actually
part,
just do it. When you go somewhere, just do it. Just Dave said he'll edit it for you.
Dave said he'll
leave it. Make him do the thing, bro.
Even for this one, it's like, if you want, you can send me all the clips. And I was like, oh, man. I'm just like, I just do it like, oh, this is a funny little humor joke, Jordan vlogs. But I've done it a few times now, and people have like,
Your Dubai one was good, to be fair.
Some people tell me, like, it's okay, now come home. How long are you on this holiday? We're hating. But maybe next year we'll go back again. I think I'll have to go back with the missus at least once, if she wants to, before.
Yeah, for sure.
More kids come and all that. But
motherfuck the big three. So what about your goat? Yeah. All I know is my goat isn't embarrassing me.
The thing is, DJ, I can't lie. It's an L.
It's past now.
The apology again. This is my feelings towards it.
Wait. For those who have been living under a rock, let's Bring it back.
Okay.
Rap so, beef.
Rap real, beef. Real rap is back. Real rap. This is a rap I grew up on. Like I told you, Dej, I came to the country 2002, couldn't speak English. 2005, I started listening. That's when G-Unit thing was bubbling up. And then I went back and listened to Nas and Jay-Z's. I thought this is a part of it. Rappers go at each other. Calm. So last, I think 2-3 weeks ago, if you want to go back to the list episode with Jaffa and Simba, we kind of touched on it. Future dropped an album. Future, who is known to collab with Drake, they have What Time to Be Alive.
Relationship.
Yeah, they have an album called What Time to Be Alive, and Life is Good is one of their best songs, collectively. Man. So for ages, they've had this relationship, and Future then drops a surprise project with a song called Like That on it. Kendrick has a verse. On the verse, Kendrick then shoots at, because there's a, back again, there's a song called First Person Shooter between Drake and Cole, where Cole says, "We're the big tree," but later says, "Despite it, my meme is just me looking at Drake." So therefore, eliminates Kendrick from the conversation. Oh. Kendrick then says, "You know what? Fuck the big tree. It's just big me. So everybody was like, "Oh, Kendrick dissed them." Mm-hmm. I'll get back to Like That as well. Then time a bit of time goes by. Cole
drops a project.
Cole drops a surprise project of his own. And then he has a 7-minute drill at the end where he kind of replies to...
It was a light jab.
It was a light jab.
It wasn't a diss track.
It wasn't a diss track. It was a response. It wasn't this. Mm-hmm. Now, people saying it was weak, but unlike that, Kendrick didn't say anything strong either towards Cole. He just said, fuck the big tree, it's just big
news.
Like, so...
It wasn't beef.
Yeah, the benefit I would say that Kendrick had initially is because he caught everybody off guard. Mm-hmm. Because we're like, oh, he said, fuck the... What they say? He said, he's not sneak decent. Yeah. First person shooter, he's actually going for the head. Because I went back and listened to Like That. I'm like, he doesn't say any. Yeah, he doesn't say anything mad. He just lets us know I'm on smoke. Yeah, I put the gauntlet like down. Yeah. And I think that's kind of why it was like, oh shit, this has started. Cole then comes, does the thing. And I was mad at it. Because he just said, the only part I wasn't like, he didn't sound like convinced. Because even in the rap, he's like saying, I'm the Nino Brown meme. You know that Nino Brown? He's shooting and he's crying.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, so you didn't really want to do it, but you felt like obliged to do it. Now, I don't know if this is gonna, like, I'm gonna say this here. I can understand Cole from the standpoint on a minor scale. I get where a podcast has dropped. People are, some, you hear conversations about, like, me, mm-hmm. and people are texting you, what are you gonna say, Jordan? Jordan, are you gonna reply? Jordan, are you gonna do this? And you're seeing tweets saying, for someone that talks a lot, he's not saying anything. So then you're like, oh,
Fam,
should I, like, your ego's coming in.
Fam, it starts riling up.
Your ego starts riling up. It's like, wait, am I pussy if I don't say something? Should I say something? In hindsight, I've told myself, I've had this conversation with myself. I said, on Twitter, if it's not about sports or like music like this, I'm not having back and forth. If we really know each other like that, we can text and get. So I understand, had I replied, it would have been something out of character for me based on what I've done. And I would have been like, fuck, I shouldn't have done that. I replied based on people's expectations.
Out of character for New Jordan.
I don't beat people on Twitter. Like
No. I'm saying for New Jordan.
Yeah. For New Jordan. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was like, I'm not beef. I don't want to be beefing on the timeline. Mm-hmm. That's not what I want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can understand when people are saying, I didn't even know I had my number texting you. Are you going to reply, Jordan? Jordan, are you going to say something?
Fam, you know one thing that's
annoying? Is this about you, Jordan?
You know, the one thing that's annoying as well is that, bro, just because you saw it, you sent it to me, you're the 10th person that sent this to me.
Exactly. Is this about you, Jordan? So then I'm like, if I said something, maybe I would have felt like, fuck, I didn't really want to acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. I don't really care to acknowledge it. Fuck. Do you know what? I take it back. My bad. I don't want to do this on the timeline.
Yeah.
So I get, that's on a minor scale. Like, I'm nowhere near that level. So on his level, you're one of the top 5 best rappers in the world, like in the last 10 decades. Another top 5 best rapper comes at you. And on 7-minute drill, he's like, he's getting messages saying, Cole, what are you gonna do? So he did something. To your point, we only regret things when you do things that you feel like it's out of your character, mm-hmm. and then he regrets it. I get it on a human level. I understand, but it's so pussy, bitch. It's so pussy that you're talking back.
You know.
So pussy.
Okay, this is why this Cole thing is just
it's the most light skinned thing he's ever done in his career.
Number one, what's called? No real shots were taken at you. That's fair.
One.
Between him and Kendrick, it's purely
competitive. Yeah.
What you said back, no personal shit was said. No, there was no sneak dissing. There was no nothing. You literally just said, yo, I'm the best at this shit.
Yeah.
Like, your last shit was a bit light. And They gassed you.
They gassed to Primo Butterfly, and it wasn't that good.
You were in your prime at Dam, and I'm only coming into my prime
and
now.
And that's why you're saying my name now, because you see I'm the guy. Okay. There's nothing that's
good.
You didn't say
anything crazy.
Oh, dude, I was actually then, so upset.
Then after all of that, after you didn't say anything crazy, you didn't, like, and this is the thing, yeah. I listened to the project. And remember I told you, my problem with J. Cole, for the longest time, it just sounded like he was just waking up and rapping.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when you're that good of a rapper, you're waking up not putting in effort is better than most niggas everything.
Do you get
what I'm saying? Yeah. So it just felt boring. It just felt like you were just kind of doing this.
You're going now, through emotions.
Now you finally have a bit of him in your voice, and you keep telling me, like, you've been telling us for the past 3 years that, yo, I'm ready to smoke anybody.
Since Middle Child, yeah, he's gone on a run that arguably you can say he's been the best rapper, like, rapping
on every song that he's been on.
In the last 5 years, you'd be like, there's a case to be made, like, oh, he's rapped in the last 5 years better than Drake and Kendrick. And there's a case to be made.
There hasn't been a song that he's been out-rapped on.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You keep telling me that you're the best, and anybody wants smoke, you got the smoke for them. And you're telling me that you're the biggest in this shit, you're coming into your prime and all this kind of shit. And then for you to do this, yeah, for you to be like, yo, sorry, my bro, my bad.
Oh,
it
God.
Almost makes, it makes everything that you're releasing, yeah, it sounds off to me.
Yeah.
I don't believe you anymore.
Yeah. Like, because the only way you can say I'm Muhammad Ali. The thing is, with that, you're out of the conversation for the goal of this era. Like,
facts.
I didn't think he was he was my personal favorite, but if I had to be objective, it's Drake.
Stop doing this woe is me shit. Stop going on stage saying, oh, you know what? I'm the third. I'm nobody's favorite. Stop the fuck up, number one.
The thing is, it's hard to find, you won't find many bigger Cole fans than me. And because I say that this is corny, like, I have a kid now. It's not everything he's gonna agree with. I can say, like, this shit is right or corny. It doesn't change how I felt about him musically before. But let's call this for what it is. This is corny shit.
When it comes to rap and the space that you're in, the smoky way you've been talking, if I kill a nigga, it's not gonna be for fame, it's not gonna be because my shit ain't selling the same, it's not gonna be for that. What's called fuck, like, I'm part of the big three. It's just me and Drake looking at each other.
I'm Muhammad Ali.
I'm Muhammad Ali. Bro, and the thing is, even, like, I'm not telling you, I like rap beef that stays with rap beef.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you to go out there and start cussing out his kids and his mother and all this kind of shit. You could say someone's last album was like.
Yeah.
And that's not a diss.
Yeah.
You could say that I'm better than you. And that every rap, Big Sean, I guarantee you, wakes up every day thinking that he's
the best rapper.
Nobody's touching him when it comes to this rap shit.
Yep.
And that's how you're supposed to feel. And that's how you've been rapping, like, for the past however many years. And when it finally comes, yeah. When did it finally comes to your doorstep?
No, you don't want to smoke.
And you take it off.
Is it one of those things that we say that some people think they want something until that something comes and they realize, actually, I'm not about this.
Has Cole ever been battle tested?
No. I don't think, because I was listening to Flagrant and I think Andrew made a decent point. It's like, Cole is, like, to your point, he wasn't really seen as the best by anybody, but he was respected by probably everybody likes rap music, respected him, but nobody saw him as the best. So it was in a space where he can be beloved by a lot of people without really, like, Drake is in a space where he's not, people love Drake, but people that love hating on Drake. I'm one of them. I love hating on Drake. I think it's fun. But
yeah, but Drake has already embodied the villain.
Exactly. But Cole never, I need to be, so he's finally, he puts himself in a space that he's not familiar with. Like, now he has to be like, yo, you're being battle tested. You might be the villain. They're going to come at you. And he pussied out.
But when
he
pussied out. When you talk smoky, what do you expect to come from it? If you talk like you're on smoke, smoke will come to your doorstep. Like, this is what I've said. Like, in my time on this earth, certain things, though, if you're not really about it, don't say that shit out loud, because life will put that shit in front of you.
Yeah.
And it just didn't make sense to me.
No, I agree.
You know, might delete later, you might as well delete the whole thing.
Jesus Christ. It's pointless now.
And this,
there's so many good songs on it. Central Cease track is cold on that
shit. But now everything you're saying, I don't believe you anymore. Like, the thing is, even now, yeah, the fall off, I'm looking at it like, like, the thing is, like, the taking it back was a problem.
The taking it back is a problem. Like, I'm on record saying, if you're they're conflicted, because the man in me can understand if you're genuinely sorry about a situation. I don't think you should be too big to say sorry to anybody. If that's how you feel, calm. But understand, it looks pussy that you did it that way.
No, because
it looks so pussy.
And even the way that you apologize as well.
He said he didn't sleep for 2 days
on stage at your own festival.
And then, you know what's the first annoying? He said all that, then led him to Love Yours. Give a bleeding over, man.
Look, I understand this.
Give a bleeding over.
If there's someone that understands this piece and pacifist shit, I get it.
No, say,
but bro, when it's time for smoke.
I'm just saying, it's gentle smoke. It's like me saying, I'm the best pod in here. Nobody can have the range of conversations I can. And then someone says, I can have the best coverage conversation. Nobody said anything personal. Everybody just thinks this shit is the best conversation. Nobody has said anything. Now I'm like, oh man, I could be like, oh, you man, and I said, like, you there, you started off hot, but your numbers are falling off. Then I'm like, oh, ditch. You can say that about that pod. Mm-hmm. I haven't been able to sleep. If I was stand on the base, I get it. The man in me gets it that your ego, people poked at your ego and you felt the need to say something. Then you finally said it and you're like, fuck, that's not really how I want to address these things. Do you know what? My bad. I get it. But the rap fan in me cannot, especially the cold fan in me, because I've been on record as long as you've known me. It's over the last 5 years, especially since middle child, I felt a bit vindicated. I'm like, yes, this guy raps just as good as anybody. And he's mixed it with kind of like the London. Now he's making hits with his rapping. He's not wavering. He's not doing any pop stuff. He's rapping. On hits. Like the London, Pride is the Devil. I'm like, oh, this guy is doing what I've always backed him to do. Now people are listening. I backed him. But then to see this, I don't think Kendrick said anything mad about him.
He didn't.
So I don't think he said anything mad about Kendrick. So people were saying it was a weak reply. I'm like, yeah, but Kendrick initial jab wasn't a strong one towards Cole.
To be honest, Kendrick's jab, it was more, the beat was crazy.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything crazy.
The voice, the vim,
that's one thing. Your tonality means so much.
Yeah.
Like, how you, motherfuck the big thing. Nigga, it's just big me. Like, it's not about, he didn't say anything crazy. Yeah, fuck the big thing, it's just big me.
Yeah.
It's the way you said.
The
like,
delivery.
He almost had this disgust in his voice. Like, what?
Yeah,
big
thing,
three.
I'm with you guys. please,
okay. Please. My question to you, yeah. Is it because it's Kung Fu Kenny, the man himself, that Cole has taken this back?
No. Because even when, like, Lil Pump and all them were taking jabs at him, he sat with Lil Pump and made, like, had an interview with him. Mm-hmm. When Nas said he wasn't fucking with work out for me, he had a song, Let Nas Down. Like you're saying.
To be honest, from Let Nas Down, we should have known.
Yeah. His spirit is, like, he doesn't want, like, he's not a pacifist. He's a pacifist. He doesn't want that energy.
Go, bro. Go to R&B.
I hear it. Because you cannot come and say, I'm the best. You've had, arguably, in terms of rapping, the best last 5 year run, I will say, yeah, in terms of pure, because Kendrick dropped like one album and a couple of verses here and there. You've had probably the best run because you've been consistent. You've been on different songs. You've been on features. You dropped the off season. You've had a good. But I don't think he's about this because Let Nas Down, he sat down with Lil Pump and ended an interview. He had 1985. Is him giving advice to, come here, little homie, let me talk to you. I want to show you better.
Yeah, but that's
who he is.
That's still. To me, that's a certain level of flex of like, you're a little boy, bro.
Fair.
The reason why I'm asking is it because obviously I as well, if I'm being honest, if I'm in Cole's position and Lil Pump's taking a jab at me, he's that stupid boy. If I slap you, I lose. if I win, I lose. If I lose, I lose.
Do you get what I'm saying?
It's not worth my time going after you.
And you think the group chat's probably not pumping, like saying, like, oh, Lil Pump's
nobody gives a
exactly.
Nobody because gives it's a Kendrick, fuck about Pump.
Now it's like.
But what I'm saying is, talking about if you. It wasn't Kendrick,
and it
was someone of a, let's just say, less status. Lyrically inclined.
Yeah.
Do you feel like he takes it back?
I don't know,
because if you're afraid of Kendrick, that's even worse.
I think because he respects Kendrick. If it was someone like, say, Meek Mill, I don't know if you respect Meek Mill, but let's say someone like a Meek Mill, I don't think he takes it back because I don't think he has the same reverence or respect. He said, because initially he says, we're the big three, like we started a league. He wanted to include Kendrick between, but the Spider-Man meme is only two people, so.
And that's three. Spider-Man meme is like this. It's three people.
I thought it was just the two of them.
No, it's three.
No, there's three. Yeah. You could have had a Kendrick.
No, apparently they wanted Kendrick on the song. They said no.
Oh, okay.
Apparently so, yeah.
Okay.
But now, my point.
I think he's only talking back because he respects Kendrick.
I don't know if it's respect or if you're shook. Ooh. Or what some people are saying is because Joe was saying that they heard something from Drake and there's touted that something's coming from Drake and it's nuclear. I don't think this is it.
There's one more.
I don't think this is it. Because this wasn't nuclear.
Yeah.
This was, to be honest, at Kendrick, it was a couple jabs here and there, but it wasn't anything like, yo, this is, because as good as Drake's track was, it's very beatable.
And
I feel like it's just
like,
a little.
What fucking helps Drake is, it sounds like every song you make can sound like a hit. That's so annoying because that you can bop to that in a club.
Yeah,
like even the instrumental.
I've reloaded it 3 times this morning. Okay, okay. Now let's.
Nah, but Cole, dude, let's before we wrap up now. Cole let me down, and I couldn't believe it. And we're out of the discussion. It is what it is.
Yeah, no.
Us Cole fans can just enjoy him, but we can't chat anymore.
Yeah, like now we when it comes to the competitive sport of rap, I've taken Cole out of it. I just listen to you because yeah, cool.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I can't even now when you talk about all this being the best and all this kind of shit. I can't take you serious anymore.
You duck smoke, yeah.
You duck smoke. Yeah. Do you get what I'm saying? And the thing is, the one thing about Drake, yeah, that I'm kind of confused about why people thought Drake would tuck his tail and hide. Mm. Drake has never really hid from beef.
Yeah,
Drake,
that's true.
He's beefed Meek. And the beef with Meek, right, Meek is looked at as a loser now.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't back then.
Yeah.
People were still thinking, yo,
Meek will have him.
And then Drake came and dog walked Meek, made everybody look at him different, and then ruined his relationship.
Yeah. He says, I might send bottles to Charlemagne. Next day, Charlemagne had bottles at the Breakfast Club.
Bro, Charlemagne goes around saying that he was receiving bottles from everyone at that
point.
Yeah,
he says that's the best. What's called? He said that's his best call out. He says that's the best time in the song.
Is it your girl's tour or your world tour? Is it world tour or your girl's tour? What? Like, he dog walked him. He's beef Common, he's beef Joe Budden, he's beef. Drake is not. Hasn't ducked from the beef for a lot of time.
Yeah, I don't understand the ego to be Drake. You're not gonna duck from smoke. Like to be at that level and anybody, you don't duck from smoke. I think we thought he'll die because of the last beef. Because after the Pusha thing, you were like, is he gonna entertain this again? Because after the story of Adidon dropped, he kind of left it alone. So a part of me was like, because Dave is now fucking gatekeeping this beef and Drake's side. All I said was, I want bars. Now he gave me bars. It's like, you didn't want to. Like, yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. I just didn't want Drake to give me an Instagram caption. Think you're above beef now. When you beef Meek and Pusha, you went above it.
I think the difference as well is that Drake actually cares about. I always say, when it comes to being a rapper, Drake is the poster child.
Yeah.
Like, he lives the rapper's life.
If I was a rapper, you'd live like Drake.
Do you get what I'm saying? And what's called, it's known that Drake is a student in the game. He knows all this war shit. He knows how to be petty. He knows how to do things in different. Drake is built for this war thing.
Yeah.
I think where it becomes a problem is people don't think he has a lyrical ability. But once again, Drake can make a hit. He can diss.
That's it.
And he's petty.
And let's get on the Drake thing now. Then obviously, we were waiting. Again, I've said it here. I didn't know if Drake would reply based on the fact that after the story of Adidon, he went on that podcast with LeBron and he was saying like, oh, look, it got a bit too personal. Yeah, so I was like, is he going to reply? And it would take a bit long. Now, people, Rory and Mal were hinting at it and every Joe Budden, like you're saying, was hinting at it. Then it drops.
A leak.
It leaked. I'm listening to the original version. I'm like, I am very, I don't know what I expected, but this was good. Again, the tone and the way he said it, he was like, yeah, you mean what you're saying. So he says, Metro, shut up and go make some drums, man.
You know what's funny? I think Metro was the only person he named it that.
Yeah, but everybody else, you kind of knew who he was talking
about. And he mentioned Abel as well, Weekend.
Yeah, what did he say about Weekend, actually?
What's called, what we doing for bitches, you doing for men, what's called, chains, whips, wicked, because obviously you're just wicked. Fam, how can you start with, I can never be someone's number one fan. Your first number one, I put it in your hand. You know what? And I think that's why you got to gang up on Drake.
Yeah.
Because he can rap, he can sing, and he can make a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got more money.
And then that's, because he put up that thing of Kill Bill. It was like, even since the song is 20v1, what the fuck is this? And I never thought I'd be on Drake's side, but sometimes it felt like you guys are ganging up, man. Like,
but you low-key have to.
The Avengers are coming together to beat Thanos, basically.
Because I'm low-key, if, first of all, Kendrick makes me wait 6 months to hear your baby mom is a porn star. No, we're going to care regardless.
Yes.
But if you make me wait 6 months to hear your baby mom is a porn star, don't even bother. Like, because at the end of the day, like, it's been said before.
The thing
is, even with the push of this, the thing that made it crazy, first of all, was a picture of Drake in blackface. And then the fact that you dropped, you are hiding a child.
Let the boy come home.
You are hiding a child. Is the beef?
No, yeah. I can't even remember Drake's initial song.
Hey, that's another thing. People forget. Dopey Freestyle was Remember he started, oh, the audacity.
Yeah.
And that was a thing until Pusha came out. Yes, it wasn't it wasn't light by any chance.
Yeah. And then he said something about Virginia. And then that's why like Pusha was like, oh, you since you named my fiance, let me talk about who you chose as your Beyonce.
Yeah, what's even he's apparently he's naming
rap is back, man.
He's naming Kendrick's wife in this
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, Whitney says Whitney likes a bodyguard.
Apparently she fucked a bodyguard. He's her bodyguard or some shit like that.
All I know is Kendrick has talked about infidelity on Mr. Morales, like because that's his high school sweetheart. Yeah. So then he was like, when he was going to Copenhagen in Denmark, he was fucking white bitches. His words. So then obviously he's talked about it in an album, and then obviously Drake then is like, yeah, hey, the bodyguard like Whitney.
Sano, let's take a quick detour here. Can you be with your childhood sweetheart, get all that fame, notoriety, and money, and not cheat?
I think you have to be like an exception to the rule because they say allegedly LeBron hasn't. Allegedly. Because that's what they say. That's what I'm saying, allegedly. Because I would also believe in this age of clout, if somebody had LeBron has cheated with someone, they'll probably come
We'll cover that
something.
Shit up.
Yeah.
Because even when they were talking about, like, I've seen people talk about the Olympic Village.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's just an orgy.
Oh, yes. I've heard that as well.
The American basketball team were there, too.
Yeah.
And you're LeBron James.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't think men are capable of like
them. Niggas' egos can't handle it.
Yeah, 100%.
They can't handle it, bro.
I know a guy that was in a relationship with his missus from ages, and then not even famous, so just regular guy, started making good money, started to blah, blah, blah. Finally had the money, and women were looking at him different.
Do you get what I'm saying? Pull up in a different car now, women are throwing themselves at you. Now, that's just a regular guy.
He just got a 9 to 5 and just started making more money.
He just got a 9 to 5 and a 40K.
And he told his missus, and they're like, when they're like trying to go through it, and he was like, look, this could have been anybody. It wasn't about you. Mm-hmm. Whoever my girlfriend was at the time, if my levels.
Man wanted to test his powers.
I was always going
to
do this.
Man wanted to test his powers.
Yeah.
He wanted to know, yo, I've gained access to a whole new world.
Yeah. And it was just me and you since I was 15. Now I'm 25 and women are looking at me different.
And you know, for a lot of men, when it was 15, it was whoever is giving me the chance.
Yeah. I'm not here trying to be too... No, that's very true. I like who likes me.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Like, I don't really have options like that. Yeah. So
oh, wait, you like me?
Yeah.
You know what? Just matter of fact, I like you too.
And then you get to a stage, yeah. Like, so to your point, yeah, I don't think like you can be a Kendrick and be that level of fame and never... been with anybody else. Now you're in Copenhagen. Nobody's around. You have all these white girls throwing themselves at you.
Throwing.
Stronger men have fallen. Let's just say. Yeah. But back to the rap beef. Proud of Drake. I'm happy with that. I don't. Rick Ross replied too quick. Everybody needs to cool down. I know people want to do this like chip thing, replying 48 hours. No. Mm-hmm. Take time. Drake took time, and we liked it. Like Pusha, I need Kendrick by Friday. Take 5 days. 5 working days.
The thing is, like, I don't know where that bang bang thing came from, because back in the day, you're waiting.
You're
waiting. I think it's probably just the internet and things have come so quick.
The generations are in. It's like we expect things like 30 seconds and whatever. But I can't wait for the next step of this. And Drake's fans are ruining for me, though. I was actually enjoying Drake winning until Dave started tweeting.
You gotta ignore them. They're like Arsenal fans. You just gotta ignore them.
Like, after a while, I was like, I thought you were enjoying this. I was like, okay, now you're doing too much.
Bro, you just got to ignore
it. I didn't say I'm doing too much. But all I got to say is,
like, for me, Drake has been number one for the longest time.
100%.
Just purely because, like, you can rap, you can sing, but you could also make a hit.
Yeah.
Like, it's very few you get all three in one person. And
Drake is an outlier. He's an anomaly. And then they said, like, he says, you man can't book out of America for none. I get booked in Tokyo because I'm bigger in Japan.
Yeah, because like, I think that's more about Future than Kendrick. Because Kendrick.
Oh, no. Yeah, that was about, like, that's the funny song. It's so good. There's so many jabs to be taken. Look.
How was he taking jabs at basketball players?
Who did you take a jab
at? Ja Morant.
Oh, yeah. Hey, if you weren't in, I'm surprised he didn't take it. Do you know what I even liked? I even told Cole on the song that shit to K that was weak. Like, I actually like that. Yo, even Cole, I'm gonna let you know.
Once again, like, because out of the big three, Drake is really the only one that's battle tested.
Yeah.
Like,
Kendrick actually hasn't been.
You know what it is, yeah. With someone like lyrical ability like Kendrick, he's just that big guy that he just has more. He's Tywo, but it's Tywo if he didn't have to fight, because you big and you look like you can fight, and you look like you're scary, nobody's even going to try you.
Try you, yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? And if somebody does try you, for the most part, it's a half-hearted attempt. Like, I know he had this little thing with Mr. I Don't Fuck With You, what's his name? Big Sean.
Oh, yeah. Control, yeah.
But like, for the most part, yeah. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, no one really, and I think this is the same thing with Cole as well. However, with Drake, because a lot of people don't rate him, and when it comes to rap, they just see him as like what?
Ross
is calling him white boy. Yeah. We've seen him as the singing nigga for the longest time. So
he's Canadian light-skinned guy as a rapper.
And he's the biggest guy. He's obviously, he's the easy target.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
And I think with Kendrick, sometimes like, with Kendrick starting this whole thing, it basically started with like, being subliminal about it. I always have to remember, Kendrick also grew up in Compton in the night. So he's growing up like N.W.A. Just because he's like a bit artsy as a rapper, he likes to take time to craft art. So I forget that, he actually grew up in like Compton. That's his home. So he's maybe not battle-tested in rap, but he's probably seen things.
Yeah,
he's probably been around things.
But the thing is, like, I think Meek Mill is the perfect example of how easily your street cred could be ripped away from you.
Yeah.
Nobody looks at Meek like Ak is talking down to Meek like, I'm not afraid of you. Academics.
Shut up, Ak. How does that guy come out?
he streamed for like 8 hours yesterday.
He had 250k people on his stream, bro, playing the song. I was like, what's going on?
When you're dropping the drink, this, why would it? Look, also, the thing is, I'm not the biggest Ak fan, but you got to put some respect on that nigga's name. Fam, dropped the drink this. He reviewed the, what's called, the Ross one as well, all on stream. And he was chatting to Drake saying, yo, Drake's saying, yo, when you go on JBP, tell Kendrick to drop his shit there.
And then I think in the final sample, Drake samples an Ak.
He does.
Yeah. The final one. Like, I was like, this guy is just like, look, he's found a lane. That's another thing about him. He's found a lane and how to exist in it, and he knows how to make it work from. But I think that's what he's done.
Why we're on rap beef? Did we talk about the Irish one?
We didn't talk about the Irish one, though.
Are we going to?
Yeah. Well, why not?
Honestly, you know what? Yeah. And respectfully, it's a beef I didn't care about. I didn't even know it was a thing.
I've watched the genesis of it on Ace's thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I watched how it began, and I was just like, oh, it was a cool moment, like a cool little thing. Like, oh man, they're actually having a go at each other.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, the thing about Ace is his voice doesn't convince me. That's it.
I was just about to say that.
That's it.
Like, we're talking about tonality. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I listened to it, but I was like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Where it was Smiles, I was kind of like, oh, this is. He says, I don't respect anybody that calls Dumbo your father.
You know what? that like killed me, bro.
I was like, wow, was there need for that?
Yeah. if it's beef, it's beef.
And because in the original song, it says, this is London, not Dublin. And I think that's a song by Ace.
Yeah.
And then he starts talking about like people hitting on his girl and then asking him
for a
feature. I was like, damn, niggas have no shame in Ireland. But hey, look. When Cat Williams did that interview at the start of the year, mm-hmm. I said, this is going to be it's always the first week in January. I said, this is the podcast episode of the year. Since that podcast has happened, there's been smoky settings everywhere. Everybody's letting their clips fly. Everybody's actually, I think we said this at the end of last year. You could tell that people were starting to get sick of each other. And I was only talking about like, all right, not sick of each other. Each other's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, I was only talking about Ireland. I was like, yo, eventually someone's going to erupt and people are going to start speaking with their chest and their mind. And it seems like it seems to be happening across media and entertainment, mm-hmm. though.
Yeah, but not the rap beef I wanted to see.
Who do you want to see beef, though?
I don't know, but you know what it is? I haven't listened to Smile since Council Estate Dreams.
Yeah.
And AC3 or Ace, whatever his name is. I've never listened to him.
I've only listened to that song with This Is London, Not Dublin.
I've heard the song. Yeah. But even then, like, it's not something that I slap on my playlist or whatever.
No, you're safe.
So, for I have no horse in the race, number one. I have no one that I really, like, I'm on either side. Like, I do prefer Smiles. I think Smiles won't know that, but it's just not, yeah.
And how do you even score the beef? Is it, like, see, like, the Kendrick one? Is it, like, after everybody drops their first one, or did Kendrick just lay down the gauntlet and now he's like keeping score?
Loki, I think round one is over.
Yeah, I think round one is Drake took round one.
Yeah, yeah, no, Drake took court. But Cole then again, once again, because Kendrick gave it what, 16 bars maybe?
Yeah, that's what I mean, like, because Drake gave us 4 minutes. So he gave us a proper.
Yeah, but Drake gave us 4 minutes against 20 man.
Yeah.
Also, can we talk? Yo, let's talk. What's Drake doing to make, like, that many people that you are that close with can't not fuck with you?
Are now. You bad vibes?
Or you are. You have to be. You have to be.
Or is it jealousy from the industry because you're that guy?
Okay, wait. So Ak said on his live stream, Drake, stop fucking people's bitches. Apparently, Wayne went to jail. Fucked his thing. Who else? I think Metro as well. I think Weeknd as well. Bro, OVO XO.
Yeah.
That's no longer a thing. What a Time, no longer a thing. Drake and Ross was a no longer a thing. At what point do we start looking at yo?
Drake and Kendrick, we didn't even get a chance to get that.
we have a Drake and Kendrick. It's on
Poetic Justice or something.
But it doesn't even count.
Yeah.
And what's called? And they were a thing before. Like what? Drake brought him on tour.
Yes.
Which is another way, another reason why it's like, it's hard. I don't know what Kendrick comes out with. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, it's hard. Because, like, even when I'm listening to battle rap, yeah, a lot of it, sometimes people say the same shit and all that kind of stuff. But it's just like, you don't have, you just, like, there's a certain battle rapper, Sue Surf, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, in battle rap, some people just rap really well and they give, like, good lines and stuff like that. But then some people do, like, the personal shit and they're chatting, they're talking to you. Surf is one of the top battle rappers, but he doesn't do any personal shit. Mm. He's just a great rapper. I think Kendrick has that ability, but is that enough?
I think...
Because Drake is messy.
And I think because Drake shot so many men in one song, it's going to be hard to top it. Because if you just go at Drake, it's going to be, yeah. But the only one that, to be fair, the only one that Drake didn't go at was ASAP. But ASAP owed him one. Because ASAP said like something about sleeping with his baby mom first, like I hate it first, whatever.
I'm so tired. All of you rappers fuck the same woman anyways. Bro, no one cares.
I was listening to something and I said, we think that all these rappers have access to all these millions of women. But for the most part, it's probably the same 1,000 women. That they all just be, because it's like, you're Drake. Why fucking other people's girls? You have a plethora of options, but why you have it's that forbidden fruit thing, isn't it?
I think it's the ego, man.
Def 100. The ego to be Drake, it needs to be humongous. Even the ego to then be Drake, like you need to be like, what? I can have anything in like essentially anything in the world. Your girl, that's a challenge for me now because that's your girl. Let's see if I can get.
Nah, and also you know what it is as well. Yeah, like growing up and having that thing of not being validated. In multiple spaces,
mm-hmm.
when you finally, I am that guy.
I am him.
I am doing absolutely. Honestly, there was a, maybe not so much now, but there was a certain point in my life, if you had given me what I wanted in that moment, I was going to be a cunt to everybody.
Jesus.
A lot of people would have hated me.
But I think that's the, even Drake, maybe he is bad vibe, because you can't, if you keep falling out, if you're the person that keeps falling out with people, then we have to look at you. Because it can't just be like, everybody's a problem, but you're the one that... Yeah, or maybe you're a man to so much success and wealth that people just hate you. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I hear that. But from the way that him and Future were supposed to be boys,
yeah,
something happened there. Yeah, 100%. Then OVO XO, something happened there. Or like, it's just like, something just...
It's kind of like Budden. He's had so many relationships in the past that, like, well, in business anyways, like the... A lot of things you do. I remember Charlamagne saying, like, the Joe Budden podcast, his ego's gonna get in the way, and then blah 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 blah.
It's gonna blow up.
It's gonna blow up, and it happens. And they had a track record of it, so you kind of have to look at him and be like, but to be fair to him, he knows how to revive himself. Joe Budden, he's just such a talent. I'm watching the JBP have another resurgence again. I'm like, oh, okay, because he's on mic shouting about this beef every week. So you're like, oh, he's doing.
Yeah, but the thing is, at the end of the day, like. Whether you're toxic or you're destructive or whatever, if you're good at what you do, people they're gonna come.
Especially if you make people money.
Even look at Cole. As much as we're all saying this, when all this nonsense, yeah, the next song he drops is banger.
If it's a banger, if it's it's
undeniable.
If you're undeniable, you're undeniable. And the other thing is, can we stop pretending like everybody else is trying to create a caveat for this big tree thing? Like we all know what I saw. Fucking Metro put him Future in the Weeknd as a big tree.
Nigga, get the fuck out of here.
I was like, we all. Why are we pretending like we don't know over the last 10, 15 years who the best...
It's been them.
And then I've listened to like Future, one of his intros on his disc 2 of his album. I was like, why are we all pretending that we didn't know who the big tree of... Again, now, I hear it. Future is probably number 4. If I had to pick a Mount Rushmore of the last 10 years, I would say Future because if I look at the landscape of particularly American rap, if I look at the Migos, the Lil Babies, the Young Thugs, the Lil Durks, the Atlanta scene over the last 10 years has been probably the most popular in America. Obviously, here we have like Dave and Stormzy and we have the UK.
Yeah.
But in America, the Gunnas, the Babies, and all of that Durk, that scene has probably been the most mainstream. Mm-hmm. And he was probably, him and the Migos, were probably the leader of that generation.
Even
I can understand
it. I low-key want to say Thug, you know.
I wouldn't argue that either. I wouldn't argue Nicki. Like, the fourth place, it's debatable between Thug, Future, Migos, Nicki. If you give it to Nicki last 10, 15 years...
Loki is Nicki.
I hear it. I'm not mad at it. Like, I'm not mad at Nicki either, because I can understand there's a lot of female rappers now. You had your Cardis, your Glorillas, your Meg Thee Stallion. And there's an argument is, Nicki really paved that way, and she gave good songs, so she should be in the Mount Rushmore. But there's also an argument is, like, if I look at the US mainstream music, the Atlanta scene of the last decade... more than New York and LA, where it traditionally was, has been popping. So if someone says, oh yeah, it's Future, because apparently he has 9 number one albums, only 4 rappers have done it or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's Drake, Jay-Z, him and Kanye, and Eminem 5. So I was like, I get it, but like, the pretending that like, we don't know what the big three
sales are a big part of it, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying, that like, if you look at culturally as well, that's what I'm saying, like, that scene of like, oh, we've seen the Gunners, the Dirk, and apparently, because Ron was saying, like, I was talking to him, I was saying, yeah, but it's not lyrically. I'm like, if you look at the last decade, lyrical rap has not been at the forefront. Now we have the Kendrick and the Cole, who for some reason, like, I think to Jaffa's point, is because they've stayed true to themselves and have been managed to stay to the top when the music, the rap has changed a bit. Mm-hmm. It's more about feeling. They're like, fuck you mean, no, wait, you know, 18-year-olds don't care about lyrics.
It's cool though.
That's what. It's not really about like who's the best lyrically. Even the emergence of Afrobeats. You think white girls really understand what's happening in Last or what Burna saying?
Any of them that are Ashkeh friends, you don't know what you're saying.
Exactly, but it feels good, yeah, and it's easy to listen to, and that's what Atlanta rap has done for the last decade. So I get the argument of saying, oh, Future is part of the Fantastic Four, but let's stop pretending we don't know.
Yeah, but the thing is also like, I think there's other things that come into it, like, what's it called? This Cole and Kendrick project that has been teased from 2012.
Yeah,
I want to say
nearly 15 years.
Nearly 15 years, and they haven't said anything about it. Like, they haven't been about. Do you get what I'm saying? Kendrick can disappear for how many years, come back and pop up and do whatever the fuck he wants to do. Yeah. Do you get what I'm saying? Cole essentially was dropping very, very mid music.
Yeah.
For years, and he was still like,
that's it.
You don't, there's just certain intangibles that, and once again, the part that fucks everybody up is I'm the hit maker you'll rely on. Because I saw some girl on TikTok, she was like, when it comes to rap beef, I don't think it's a bar if it's not true.
Yeah.
So anytime you say something that's true, that's a bar. What's called your first number one, I put it in your hand.
Yay.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Cole saying that, oh, your last shit was kind of boring.
That's,
you're not the person to talk about boring.
Yeah, and that's also more of like an opinion. Because people could be like, I like Mr. Morales, so I don't know what he's talking about. Like, because when he said the thing about the Pimp a Butterfly, I was like, finally we're saying it. But then I was chatting to like Curtis, and he was like, What are you talking about? The Pimp a Butterfly is a great album. I was like, yo, that jazz shit you really like. So again, that's not really a bar. But if your number one was with Drake, like, Cole's first number one was First Person Shooter. Mm-hmm. So he can literally say, yo, that first number one, I put it in your hand. And you can't, that's not an opinion. Because that's literally what happened. So
how you big stepping with some 7 feet?
So people were doing the Googles, like, because I was like, oh yeah, Kendrick is short. Yeah, she wears a big step.
Man, drop down and give me, what's going on? You got so many splits, your pants are going to feel like you're going to rip. Like, signed to this person. But yeah, so like, it's just like, all of those, yeah, like, it's just, it's hard to beat someone where you can't little boy Drake, because in the industry, he's probably the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
He does, when it comes to hits, he's got them all. When it comes to money, he's got that all. How, like, you see the way that Ross is always, oh, Rosé, check, Blizzard, I got money, come money. He said, go spend that little check.
Now, Drake killed it, and that was, I don't know, like, because I've always said, this is my favorite version of Drake. When Drake is rapping, when you listen to Going Bad and you listen to Back to Back, and you're like, this is the guy. Mm-hmm. So that's why you guys will never gaslight me on views, just because Control and One Dance were on that album. You guys think you can gaslight me on a 24-song album? Miss me, man.
To be fair,
he was good.
You know what, to be fair, I'll say as well, like, I'm not that I'm afraid for Cole's the fall off. The last time I saw a rapper shouting about an album for years and dropping heat until the album came, we got views.
Did you not like views?
No.
Okay. Phew. Because I remember the day it dropped on Twitter, they were trying to say, yo, this is cool. I'm like, bro.
I was gassed,
good, but it wasn't like,
I was gassed on that day just because we got new Drake.
Yeah.
But it wasn't because it was great.
But also, 24 song albums are hard to make great. It's too many songs. Because if you have a 24 song albums and you get 10 out of 24 right, that's low key not a good album. Because you've missed too many times on like 14 tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Like Future doing a 2-part album, I'm not listening to that. The only reason I listened to that intro thing is because Charlamagne and Andrew kept sharing the brilliant. They clipped them onto.
To be honest, I've never been the biggest Future fan. I do like the hits,
yeah,
but I can't go and listen. Like I've listened to DS2, Dirty Sprite 2 a couple times. But like after that, for the most part,
he has Dirty Sprite as well. For March Madness, now Future's cold.
For the most part, I can't listen to a full Future album. And also, ASAP, I'm not trying to hear any of that. You know what? I've never
just gonna get Rihanna pregnant.
The thing is, I've never actually been a fan of ASAP rapping.
He was good. Oh, he has a song called Goldie. Oh, yeah, Long Live ASAP.
I know everyone talks about the Long Live ASAP, but I don't know. He's just never been my spec of
rapper. Yeah, no, I liked him then, 2013. I thought he was gonna be like that era. Yeah, it was gonna be who's gonna be the top four because Big Sean. I think they were in the same class.
That's when Big Sean was still,
ASAP, Kendrick, Drake, and Cole. Mm-hmm. They were all the same class, and Joey Badass was kind of in and around that.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the three of them separated themselves. ASAP went to do other things, but
it's not that I don't think he can rap because he can rap. Like, because him and Skepta on Save It, I didn't even bother going to listen to the track. When I opened my phone in the group chat saying, "Bro, I got bored before I got there," I said, "Yeah, I don't even need to do this."
Yeah, I was weak. I said, "Yeah, I birthed something about being there before she birthed it." I was like,
"Yeah, yeah, all of that is wrong." What's called? I found money the other day
on the ground.
Yeah,
€50.
€110.
And you picked it up.
Of course.
As a Nigerian.
Look, man, if I turn into yam, in this cost he lives.
Why the fuck did you find money?
You know what? So I was like, all right, back on this fitness shit, let me go to the gym, yeah? And I was like, the gym's about like a five minute drive, but it's a good like 30-minute walk. I was like, you know what? That's a great warm up. I'll walk there, I'll walk back, get my steps in, all that. And then if I do cardio in the gym, I could also skip the cardio and just come home. So I was walking, I was just looking. What's that? That looks like, I see one, I see another one, I see 250s, saw a little 10, and then I saw a receipt, and it was like a social receipt. I said, bro, you just got to charge it.
That would ruin your week, wouldn't it?
Yeah, bro.
That would ruin your week.
And look, man, Jesus. you go re-up next week, you'll be good.
Did I have anybody's name on the social receipt?
Do I give a fuck? I didn't pick up the receipt. But yeah.
The last time
I found money was when I was in like second year and I found like €700. I told you about this.
No. Second year of primary school.
Second school. Yeah, what's going on? So one morning, yeah, my brother used to go to like football training with someone that lived, like one of his boys that lived in the estate. And it was one Saturday morning. My mom was like, did you take him to his friend's house? I wasn't bothered, whatever. Take him to his friend's house. Like, this is just like the other side of the estate, so it's not far. And I'm walking home and I see this little black thing on the floor. It's a wallet. I open it, bro, just 50s on 50s on 50s. I grab out the 50s, put it in my pocket, dash the wallet,
bro. What do you do with someone 50 at that age?
I bought some of my boys with, because I know he wanted to buy a new phone. Back when phones were like 70 quid. I bust him a little bit. I bust my mom a little bit.
What did you say?
I didn't tell her I found her €700. I was like, oh, mom, I've been saving money. Here's some money. Fuck off. And then the rest of it, I just squandered it on useless games.
That's like when I found 300 in DCU, though. So this is college days. I was like, what a time to be alive. You know that means you can actually use your money. Yeah. I had nothing to spend.
Bro, I was first or second year of school. I had nothing to spend my money on apart from games and nonsense.
I can't remember what I spent it on, but like, I think because in the wallet there was a picture of like an Asian girl, so I think it was an international student. I went back and gave the wallet into the fucking
bro,
lost and found. I was like, sorry, I found this wallet.
The thing is, yeah, because it was outside, it was in the morning, and it's like, it's not like a corner or anything. It was, oh, you've been to my house. You know where you park, where you come to my house? Yes. It was right there.
Jeez.
So, and it was in the morning. I didn't look at anything else. I just saw the 50s and the cash. I grabbed the cash, dashed the rest of the thing away, and I was gone, bro.
You'd fall on your knees at Walmart, wouldn't you?
Bro, that was me.
You would fall on your knees at Walmart.
It was like €700 or €800. God. If that was me, it must have been a tradesman that had just gotten paid.
Yeah. Especially back then when they actually like...
Yeah, because there's also like 08 as well.
Because, you know, tradesmen now, like I've had a plumber in, they take Revolut payments.
Yeah.
Like, because you tell them I don't have cash, you say, yeah, you can take it on Revolut.
Yeah, but this was like 08, so it was time ago.
You know, Nigeria didn't have Revolut.
Yeah, they don't.
Everything else, like, to be bank transfer. I was like,
yeah, my mom has a whole separate app for transfer money to Nigeria.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I had to use it Remitly. But yeah, most of the time it was Morris's that was doing it. Oh man, like, any things were so cheap, man. I don't like Morris was telling me, he's like, yeah, it's good for us. It's good for us, but the economy over there is suffering. Like,
charge it for me. You're spending someone's yearly salary on food. On one meal.
I need to go to a dirty December. We'll see. Fam.
But yeah, now what's been going on?
I think it was mainly the rap beef and the return trip. But yeah, I think that's it. Really.
Oh, I got hit with some racismo the other day. Well, tell me if this is racismo, yeah.
Probably yes.
So I come out of my house. I come out of my house, yeah, and I was just going to grab something in my car. And this woman is trying to get like her kid to like her little daughter to like come, like, yo, come, we have to go somewhere or some shit like that. And the kid is like running past my car, some shit like that. And she goes, come before I tell this man to take you. So now, is it because I was just a man, or is it because I'm a black man?
Could be either.
And this is my question.
Where was it? In your estate?
Yeah.
Maybe she just wanted to scare her daughter.
Why is it me that you're using scare your daughter? Now, once again, is it because I'm a man, or is it because I'm a black man?
Say, both would make it even more scary for the daughter. Not only is it a man, it's a black man.
You get what I mean? So I was just kind of there like, yeah. I don't know if it was racism or not.
The only thing that's going on with me is like, yeah, no, that's it. I just fell in love with, not fell in love. I got invested in WWE again. WrestleMania got me back. Like, bro. I know it's fake, but they tell the stories too well. And someone put
the
in
the storyline is too good.
They said, just watch it as a sitcom. Don't watch it as if this is real. Just watch the storylines and buy into those. And then I watched some of the storylines, Cody Rhodes beating Roman Reigns, and they found his Rolex that his dad. He said, if you ever become WWE champion, his dad said, I'll give you this Rolex. Then he asked his mom, oh, where's that Rolex that dad promised me? He says, oh, he sold it so you can go to LA and follow your dreams. Triple H went back and found who they sold the Rolex to, bought the Rolex, and gave it to Cody Rhodes.
You know
what? I was like, that melted my heart.
This is, it's our version of the Real Housewives and Love and
Hill. Yeah, you just have to accept it for that. Accept it for what it is. Because I watched some promos, like Dwayne Johnson is cutting. I'm like, this is legitimately fun to watch. This is actually beef.
It is literally, it's like, I think that's what it is. It's the line between it's sports entertainment.
Yeah.
This is purely for entertainment. Like, bro, these guys are punching each other in the head for 30 minutes straight and not one drop of blood. Come on.
But then when you watch the matches, then you can see the fakeness. That part is still cringy. That part I can't get over. Like the actual matches, but the promos. And
it's,
the storylines?
It's always been about this.
That's actually true.
Except they've had some fucked storylines the other day. I remember when Vince's limo blew up and we thought Vince was dead.
Yeah. And he wanted to like get Stephanie pregnant by him or his brother.
There were some weird things. I remember Kofi Kingston, the Jamaican guy that's Ghanaian.
And then there's actually a scene Kofi. There's a scene that they play onto that, and then Triple H goes, hey, where's your accent gone? So they've kind of got to a stage where they acknowledge that it's not real. They play onto the not realness of it, so it allows them to tell better storylines. Like, WWE has made like a weird resurgence into the mainstream over like the last 2 years or something. I don't know what it was.
Logan Paul.
What?
Logan Paul.
That's also because he's the part of Logan Paul case. I was like, oh yeah, it's because people our age cannot put money into it. The people that watched it growing up. Like Logan Paul probably watched it growing up. Mm-hmm. KSI definitely watched it growing up.
We all watched it growing up.
Now, they're old enough and they have the money to get into it. Now we're like, oh shit, this whole entity that just existed that we all forgot once we realized wasn't real. Now we're old enough, we're like, nah, it's not
cool. Do kids fuck with wrestling like they used to? Because I back in the day, I don't remember, like maybe minus like the girls and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of the guys that weren't into it. Bro, I had every WWE game.
Bro, so did I. SmackDown versus Raw 2007.
Do you know how many times I've suplexed my brother in the house? What, you know
smash
what
on the couch.
Bro, I hit you with a finisher. Don't move.
I said, please don't tell my mother. Don't tell. You know, I don't think so. I think we touched on the celeb for kids these days are the streamers. I think I don't know what age range you're talking about, but I think like 18 and below is the Kai Sinats and the
Speeds. No, but I'm even talking about like, because bro, when wrestling was popping,
yeah,
I I was in primary school, bro.
Yeah, it's the same, same. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know any primary schoolers anymore. Like, even my sister.
I don't even know college students anymore like that, to be fair.
Already, speaking of my sister, what was JT and Young Miami beefing about?
I think they have distanced themselves from each other for a long time now. You don't really see them about. And I think someone told me that they're more colleagues now than friends.
Okay.
Whereas, like, obviously, the brand that they've built to make money off City Girls and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But I think once JT got with Uzi and Carisha got with Diddy Please, they've started going.
You said Diddy Please.
What's going on? Oh, sorry, Mr. Love. Puffy. Mr. Co- whatever you want to call that nigga.
No, did he?
No man has gone through more rebrands than that guy.
Now I get why, because he has to change everything. Because I saw a tweet about it. I was like, do you think sometimes, like, not just them, in friendships, because they're using them as an example of it, they said a lot of things have probably built over time. Now we're just seeing it blowing up. Like you're saying, they probably distance themselves over time, things that have been building, and bam, and it's coming out. And sometimes that can happen in relationship and in friendship. You just, these things just build, and over time they just...
But you know, that's how all these things work. Like, because there's so many times where, even when you're listening to a podcast, sometimes you're like, Do you get what I'm saying? Like, because look at when the Receipts broke up. Well, they didn't break up, but one of them left. Everyone starts saying, you know what? It hasn't been sounding the same for a while.
Yeah, I think Simi was saying to me 4 or 5 years ago, like saying, like, the way Tali talks to Melina sometimes it can come across. And I think we had an episode where we talked about it, and I can't remember who, but they said sometimes it's not that she's talking down on her, it's just sometimes the Nigerian and Tali can be a bit strong. Mm-hmm. And going back to Nige, like, the mannerism of my Nigerian friends, especially when I was younger, it made sense because I saw the source. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, these niggas weren't being rude. This is just an environment that they grew up in. Now, if you don't know better, you can think, like, why are these guys being so abrasive, yeah, so loud, so up front coming? But understand, it's like, this is just, this is what it is. This is the environment they grew up in. So I can maybe see why Tali coming from a certain way, talking this way. And she's honestly made me think, like, I'm not even bullying her. I'm not saying anything bad. But the excuse was she doesn't have this energy for Audrey. That's what I heard.
You know, it's one of those situations where one of you is openly a lesbian.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't think she's like homophobic or anything like that. It's just that I have seen, even because I do have some friends that are Nigerian, they're Christian as well, they do all this, and they can be a bit judgy. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, a bit judgy of, like, if someone is, like, a bit outside of the lines kind of a situation, and it's just kind of like, not even that you're not doing it on purpose, but because your belief is so strong in what you believe in, you almost just dismiss whatever I'm saying.
Yeah.
Or you're like, I'm telling you that I believe in spirituality and I believe in crystals and I believe in all this kind of shit, and you're looking at me like, oh,
it's witchcraft. Mm-hmm. It's Jewish.
Or that's dumb. Like, I remember I was listening to The Day After or whatever, with Margs and all of them, and Margs was talking about, like, he believes different things have souls and shit like that. Mm. And it's like, all God's creatures have souls and all this kind of shit. And they reduce it down to, so the grass has soul now, yeah.
Mm.
And it's just kind of like,
if the it doesn't way align speak to about what it, you believe through it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, even on that, because I remember being told also, like, Melina was open about her sexuality, like toys and masturbation. Mm-hmm. And initially, Tolly was very resistant because we come from household, you know yourself, like, these topics are very taboo. Yeah. They're very, like, we don't talk about sex or anything. So now to hear another probably woman talk about this out loud and express of herself, because sometimes things go against our core beliefs that we're resistant to it without even wanting to, but because I've never been in a room with a woman openly talking about her sexuality or sex toys. So for her, Tali could have been like, that's kind of mad, like, that you're talking about this, and it could come across as judgmental. Mm-hmm. It's also a part of it is we just don't know better. We've never been exposed to this. We've never been exposed to these ideas that women are sexual beings and they do like sex in different ways. It's not just for the men. Mm-hmm. So I get it. And do you know what I deep as well did, speaking about this, yeah? People that do content within the scene or whatever, I think sometimes people view us as if we think we're higher than we're above than we are.
Facts.
Like, I hear some opinions of us, I'm like, but that's not how we view ourselves. Like, I honestly think that's not how we view ourselves. But I think for them, because maybe we have the audacity to talk on a mic every week and put it out and do clips, or we think perhaps we're better than we are. But why is that?
Yeah, but I think that's at every level, though. Like, because people look at superstars. So I might look at, like, a Trunks or a Philly or whatever, and you meet me on one day and I'm just, please just don't chat to me right now. But I just got some horrible news. and you want to take a picture. Granted, you may never see me again. Mm-hmm. That's cool, but that's not my fault. Mm-hmm. And then now, you think because I didn't want to take a picture of you, all of a sudden I felt like I'm better than,
everybody.
But yeah. Also, that's something that's been happening to me for time as well, because do you know how many people that have told me that, yo, Didge, when I met you, I thought you were a dickhead. But for the most part, or like, I remember literally these two girls literally told me that, yo, when I first met you, I thought you were all like stuck up and full of yourself and shit like that. But for the most part, I was just being quiet and being in my corner. Mm. Like, for the most part, if you don't bother me, I won't bother you.
Yeah.
And I'm comfortable in silence. But you think I feel a way, now you're feeling the way and you're putting that on me. And then once again, the audacity. Why do you think what you're saying on the mic
has any weight to you?
Because you did this, you must think you're class.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm class. Yeah. You think I'm class. Yeah. If we keep it a book, like, you think I'm class.
If you did this, you would think you're class.
Exactly.
So because I'm doing it now, you must think that I think I'm class. Because I was listening, like, in Nige, I was getting some opinions, outside opinions about, like, the scene or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to some of these things and I'm like, oh, you, like, people must have a perception of us that we think we're above what we think we are. Because mm-hmm. I remember even listening to what your head at, and KD said, someone said to KD, oh, don't let this fame get to your head. And he was like, fame?
I'm famous?
What's going on? Like, and then it kind of made me deep. I was like, all right, I get it. You said about rappers as well. Like, some people, you rap on a beat, people might think, like, why do you think you have something to say? And, like, the audacity. Because then listen to it and, like, you'd hear opinions about yourself and you're thinking, like, I don't think this way. Why do you think I think this way? Because I have a podcast. Mm-hmm. I think that, like, and a lot of it boils down to, like, oh, you guys don't even make money. You guys, like, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, yeah, but it's just, for the most part, some of us, you look at it as, like, again, there's people that are definitely trying to, like, use this to propel themselves and do things. Mm-hmm. For most part, I've always looked at this, like, oh, this is kind of like, I don't play football anymore. This is my hobby. And I enjoy doing this on a weekly basis. I've barely made money from it, but I do it every week. So I don't think I'm better because I'm actually losing money week for doing this thing. Yeah, so yeah. I'm not making it. I'm losing money, but because I enjoy it. It's just funny that I hear the perception. I'm like, that's crazy. That's funny.
But I also think as well, it's the problem of, like, people see people that they were, not that anybody's on a different level than it.
Yeah.
You know, fuck all this disclaimer shit. People see people that they feel like, or they came from the same place as, I was like, we're all on the same level now, but now everybody's talking about you in this high regard. But that's just Jordan.
Why all of a sudden
Jordan's so smart.
Yeah.
Jordan's so this, Jordan's so that.
Now they think that perception that they've heard of you, you must have it mm-hmm. of yourself. Now they think, why do you think you're better?
I've also seen it happen with girls not liking other girls, but it's because the guy that they like is talking about this girl in a particular manner.
So
now all of a sudden, what's so special about her?
Yeah,
she's just this. She did this. She did that. And it's just like, do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I think it's just people projecting whatever they feel about whatever. Because do you get what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, we haven't done anything special.
Yeah.
Like, and we don't think we're class.
Mm-hmm. And that's to our detriment. Because people have told us to stop saying that. Have told us, like, I get what you're saying. Like, mm-hmm. we honestly have downplayed this more than we needed to. Mm-hmm. Even at that, people still think we're better than we actually are.
It's not even that. It's just like, for everything that you see for a lot of the people that are doing this thing is step one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
if I was at step 10, you'd know. I told you money will change
me. Let me tell you now, there will be signs.
If I was at step 10, this is life or not. It was funny.
But let's look at someone like Mondrola now, yeah. Tour with Kid Cudi, and it's like, oh, you must think you're class. Yeah. Like, if you see him bopping around Dublin now, oh, look at him, he thinks he's class. But my guy's just minding his own fucking business.
It's funny because we have this, like, on a minor scale. So sometimes I, like, this is a minor scale. So sometimes when I see famous people thinking, like, oh, I'm just a normal person, because after what it just becomes their normal life, they just become me living this life. So you looking at me in this high regards, I don't see myself like that anymore. Like, I know, like, we talk about Cole. I cycle a bike in hobo clothes and dreads in New York. But you see him, like, he must think he's class. He's downplaying himself, mm-hmm. trying to look like a poor man. So it doesn't. But he's probably, in his head, he's thinking, like, I'm just living my life. But you view me in this regard, that's on you.
But I also realize, something I've realized, especially in the past couple of years as well, is that a lot of people do this thing where they think what someone else thinks, and then they think that as that's facts.
Mm, mm, mm.
Like, you know, when, like, let's say you're talking to a girl or whatever, and she's like, oh, she did something and that's so embarrassing. And it's like, nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
But you think that they think this. So, and whatever you think that they thought,
That's
what you take as fact.
Yeah.
As like, oh, everybody hates me.
Yeah. It's like,
ain't nobody thinking about you.
For the most part, nobody cares, man.
Yeah, like, for the most part, anything that goes on in your life is a 10-minute conversation for us, but it's your life. Yeah. So you're fixated on it. Do you get what I'm saying? There's parts of my life that I've said something in a weird way or my voice has cracked or something, and I will never forget that. And nobody else remember that.
And I think I was saying it to someone on the same trip. I was saying, look, you have to understand, when things happen on the timeline, for the most part, for these people, I know it's your real life. Like, this is real life for you, and you see people making jokes and they laugh, and everybody's laughing about it. But for the most part, they don't care. But because you're living this life and you have to go deal with the realities of your life after, like, something could happen, it exposed on the timeline, and now you have to deal with it. Everybody's just doing cold tweets and jokes. Then they go off on their day, and you still have to deal with this. I'm like, don't mind that, because they actually don't care. Like, most of the people on this timeline, once you ignore it, football will start in 10 minutes and they'll be tweeting about it.
Exactly, and that's why the most important thing to do and the most important thing that's on your phone is that logout button.
Because I saw a clip that said learn to log out, and I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like, as much as the internet is a real place because we make money from it and all this kind of shit, the internet's fake. Because
don't care.
Like, do you think who's on that, you know, let's even say Drake. Yeah. Drake gets an insane amount of hate. Do you think he's getting that hate in everyday life? Please. Until he opens that phone, anybody say shit to
him. The guy selling shows in Japan. that's how you know it's fake. Like, nobody's going to say this to you in person. And it'll have a few awkward... Like, I think that's another disadvantage maybe, is because here we live in such a small environment. When you see a couple or two or three quote tweets about you, you must think, oh,
yeah, man, but
everybody's thinking this about me.
Yeah, but the thing is, thing I've learned real quick is that you acknowledging it is now putting attention that nobody, like, there's that one person, you saw it because it's you.
Yeah.
But now that you've quote tweeted it, now we know it's about you. I didn't even pay any mind to that tweet before.
Yep.
But now that you've come and you're coming on smoke, now you've just extended the gist and you've extended the, oh, now we care about this. He's responding. Now, wait till this person responds.
And now they're sending it to the group chat. Back to the conversation we had earlier, it's like, check your ego. No, people, like, if you'd first, once you respond, now we know it's about you. Now people are going to start egging you on to keep responding. It's just for their entertainment. They don't really, nobody cares about your life like you think they do. They really, really don't. They really don't. Like, your spouse, probably your partner care because it affects them directly. But for these people on the internet, they really don't give a fuck about your life. But last thing I wanted to touch on, what you make of Keith leaving Three Shots? I don't think we talked since
then. That was going to happen. We knew that was always going to happen. He's the most... not antisocial, but he's the most antisocial one out of the three of them. Mm. He's had other ventures in the woodworks for a while.
And the podcast has probably been the toughest to his own fault. The podcast probably got him in the most muddy waters based on, like, people trying to, like, get him out of here, yeah. Things he said,
there's a certain man that's gonna be leaving his soon. Fam. So, like, it was always coming. But yeah. The other thing that I will say, going back to what we were just saying of fam, once he dropped that tweet, the hate that I saw for that man.
Finally, maybe the rest of you should pack it up.
Yeah, next time, just end the podcast. It's cringe that you're still listening to Three Shots in 2024. Blah blah blah. And it just goes to show at the end of the day, yeah. And probably a lesson I'm still learning as well is, like, bruv, just there's no way that everybody likes you. It's literally just impossible. The thing is, even the people that fucked with you on the way up, they're good. Like, the minute they can turn on you, they will. And I feel like that's even what's happening with Drake and everything. It's like, oh shit, we finally coming at this nigga. Yeah. All right, cool. Just so you know, you've got my back.
Yeah. It's like the one person took the step, like, yes, let me join this. Mm-hmm. Let me join this and go. Because if, like, you're backing Kendrick, there's no shame in that. I was like, yeah, I'm behind Kendrick. Let me go at this guy. But yeah, shout out Three Shots. Hope they keep going. Like, as long as they are enjoying it, because that's another thing. Because on the podcast, someone actually hit me up on that clip that we did. If something isn't meant for you, just stop. Mm-hmm. And someone hit me. Where I shared a clip and someone hit me up and says, like, look, as long as, even if it's 15, 20 years, as long as you're not discouraged, you still have passion and you're still enjoying it, just keep doing it. Like, who is it hurting? Like, at the end of the day, people might look at you, oh, you're doing this 20 years, but who cares as long as it's...
Yeah, do you get what I'm saying? Like, as long as you're not harming anybody else, man, do your fucking...
Yeah.
As you know, yeah, like, once again, in this life, yeah, we have very several fucks to give. I've got bills to pay, I've got shit to worry about, I've got a 9-to-5 that I'm beefing with? Do you think I give literally, a yeah. fuck? Do you think I give a fuck?
Like L said, I ain't dashing a single fuck.
Exactly.
Dashing, you know bro. That's it. I think that was it. That covered everything. Yeah, yeah, shout
you
out.
Got, you got to charge something to the game, my brother.
Oh, charge something to the game. Money spent on trips, yeah? Money spent on any vacation. Mm-hmm. You come back and you look at your bank account, you're like, how am I going to survive the next 2 weeks before payment?
to be fair, at least it's only two. I remember I went on one holiday, yeah. I got paid just before I went on holiday.
God.
I think I was there for like maybe like 4 or 5 days.
Oh,
I
God.
I came back that month's salary was gone. Yeah.
Oh, you look at one salary and I look at it and I was like, okay, there's only 2 weeks. Bro. Start doing the calculations and doing the
minus like, bills, minus the bills I had to pay, that whole salary was gone.
God.
And you know when you look back, it's like, did they do the math right?
You know, even on Niger, you know, whatever you order a long bill, they just add things there. They added one drink there for like 50k and we were like, who the fuck ordered this? Charge it. You've already paid for it. They've collected their money. Which, to be fair, it's sneaky, but I hear it.
Hey,
I hear
on
it.
That level, give me that bottle.
I hear it.
I pay for it. I didn't drink it. Let me drink it now.
I hear it. Well, that. Oh, also, charge the game. Back to the office for the first time in 2 weeks.
Oh, fuck that shit, man. You know, that's sort of my, like, I don't know how women do come back from maternity leave. Because just coming back from a 4-day holiday, I can't be arsed being here anymore.
2 weeks, like, you're just like, bruv, why do we do this? Is this even, especially the way we were living. I was drinking 50 cent Desperados and you want me to fucking action this thing?
Yeah, fam, Jordan is texting the group chat waved at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday. Like, your unemployed friends. And now I have to go back to the office. Like, I just don't care. Like, now imagine having after 9, 10, even a year of being off of work, waking up, doing what you want, just seeing your little bundle of joy. To then come back to the office and say, kind regards. Fuck that shit.
I've said it on the episode. I think after women give birth and they go back to work, working has actually been eaten. Like, yeah. I think that what you're doing is so much more important than this thing. Like, why am I working?
Yeah, like, I boil my job down to, I go in, I play with a computer for a couple hours, and I go home.
Right.
It really just is that.
If you made it to the end of the pod, you didn't like anything that we said, well, you can charge.
Bang, bang.
Thank you for listening.